Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learned.
Hello and welcome. Oh, that was weird. I had a weird echo there.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a delay on my
voice.
I was trying to go for like the sultry, like NPR type of show, like hello and welcome.
And welcome. Today we're going to be talking about the habits of the Uruguayan ukulele tribe.
Oh man, the ukulele tribe is such an interesting tribe.
They're like the guitar tribe, but smaller.
Yeah, well, they've just recently been discovered a couple years ago. Prior to that, they had no contact with human civilization, which is interesting because their ukuleles look just like our ukuleles.
But first, we need your money. We are desperately in need of cash, please. The terrorists have taken over the building. We need $1,000 in order to make our goal hour.
So
otherwise, they will start executing hostages. And is this too dark considering what's going on in the world right now?
I hope not.
But if you donate today, you'll get a free tote bag. We have a fantastic show for you today.
If you donate, you get a tote bag. But if you donate even more, you get a tote bag with a boxed set of every episode on CD that nobody uses anymore.
Single leaf of kale.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Welcome to Today We Learned, guys. I know I say this a lot, but I really mean it this time. We've got a great show for you today. I'm very excited. This guy, very funny guy. I've been trying to get him on the show for a while, and finally, the stars, our schedules, our trapper keepers aligned. We were able to get him in here.
Yes.
You know him from a bunch of places. If you're a fan of video games, you've probably heard him on the DLC podcast with Jeff Cannata on the 5x5 Network. If you are a fan of stand-up comedy, you've probably heard him on this very network with What's New, another fantastic podcast. If you're a fan of live comedy, you might have seen him at hosting Sketchmelt here at Nerdmelt. You might have seen him at UCB hosting Improv versus Stand-Up.
You've seen him all over. He's a very, very funny guy, and he gets around.
Yeah,
in a good way.
He's real loose with the jokes.
He's very loose at the comedy scene.
Yeah, what can I say? He's like a long arm.
His reach is ever expanding.
Yeah, and he's a great dude.
Yeah,
and we're happy to have him on the show today.
Very fun.
Today's episode is brought to you by no one, just us. We'll have
a sponsor
again
someday. It's brought to us by you guys. You guys really make this happen.
Today's episode is brought to you by your unyielding good faith in us.
Yes.
So, thanks, guys. If you wanted to do a trust fall sometime, I'd probably catch you.
Yeah, I would watch Dan catch you.
Yeah, he would not help me as I was struggling to lift you under your considerable but generous and shapely weight.
Collectively. He means collectively, like all of you at once. If you fell, he would.
Yeah, I'm not doing individuals. I don't got time for that.
No.
Guys, come on, be real.
It's like a nail bed. You know, you have to lay on them all. It's weight displacement.
Yeah, it's like a water bed. You can't have them in most apartments. Just check your lease.
Are those still around you?
I guarantee there's a waterbed somewhere.
Somebody's got a waterbed still.
I think the last time I saw a waterbed was at least 10 years ago.
Has to be. I can't even remember.
Let's bring them back.
They were the biggest thing, and then it's like, wait a minute, these are horrible ideas.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I have scoliosis and my apartment is flooded. Yeah. Why did this happen?
I seem to be suffering from a disease caused by black algae.
Yeah. worst kind of algae.
What could it be?
Why could it have been green algae? A superfood.
Or blue algae. It gives me energy.
It gives you wings. Yeah, what could I have a water bed full of Red Bull?
Red Bull.
I guarantee. I bet like freaking Deadmau5 has that.
For the Insomniac.
Yeah, like Skrillex has a waterbed full of Red Bull.
Oh, that's so funny.
In the shape of his haircut.
The viscosity is thicker than water, and it makes it even more.
And that is the formula for family. But guys, the point is, great show today. That guy we're talking about, let's just cut to the chase, shall we? Let's cut to the Vinny Chase Entourage movie coming to theaters 2017. And...
Aquaman coming up before.
Yeah, it probably will. I guarantee that'd be an interesting race. I hope they come out the same weekend and both involve Aquaman.
That'd be so funny.
Guys, without further ado, today we learned number 54 with Christian Spicer.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
We'll be right back.
Welcome.
Welcome
to Today We Learned, a podcast of knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Today We Learned, a podcast. That's exactly what this place is.
Is there an echo in here?
There's an echo.
Or is it just me?
It's me, too. It's not just you.
I'm all alone.
It's also me, and it's also our guest. There's
yeah,
three of us.
So you recognize our voices. I'm Dan.
Yeah, and I am Razzle.
And with us today
is the very funny Christian Spicer, ladies and gentlemen. Say hello, Christian.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy to be here.
Yeah.
You might... Go ahead, Dan.
You might know his dulcet tones from another podcast on this self-same network called What's New.
You recognize that stuttery nasally voice from other podcasts.
He's also the co-host of Uninformed Opinions podcast. He does the Sketch Melt at Nerd Melt, and he's on 5x5. He's on a DLC on 5x5. What is that?
That's a video games. Game podcast with Jeff Cannata. And it's Mondays at 11 a.m. We go out live and then RSS'd at 5x5.tv/DLC.
Is that the number 5 or spelled out?
Excellent question. It is, well, before I get to that, I have a few more plugs I want to put out.
Oh, by all means.
It is the number 5. The number 5. Yeah. Number 5 by BY number. It's the internet and just do 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 and then yeah. Be like internet work.
Yeah.
How does that
Xbox on.
Siri.
Siri, hold me. Tell me it'll be okay.
I think the only time my Xbox One turns on is when I hear when people in podcasts say it.
Yeah.
I turned it on into sad, man.
Hold on, does that really do that? You can tell your Xbox.
You can if you have the Kinect plugged in, you run the cable box through it, you can use voice commands. I use that at home. I mainly use it to control my cable box. Haven't been a lot of great games for Xbox One so far.
Sunset Overdrive. This podcast brought to you by Sunset Overdrive.
Ooh, what?
No,
snap into it.
I'm excited about that game.
I'm pretty stoked about that one.
So you can legitimately change channels with your voice?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
ESPN, not E. No,
Xbox, go to ESPN. HD. High D.
Just use the remote, Dan! Quit yelling in our house!
Shut up, Aunt Bertha.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Stop listening.
Can we start? Hey, guys, happy to be here. You might recognize my...
Today we learned never book Christian.
So, as you may or may not know, we usually like to start off the show by having our guest either give a fact about themselves that people might not know or something that they learned recently.
Yeah, so I can do both, but something I learned recently, it looks like everything's going to be fine, but I spent Labor Day weekend 3 days in the hospital with my daughter.
Oh, no.
And, anyway, guys, Debbie Downer. But it's like we all know this, I think, at some level about ourselves, but what I learned is just how sad happy people in hospitals make me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like happy patients, like people that I know are there. I don't even know if they're there for a long time, but like they're in a room and they're admitted to the hospital and they seem to be in good spirits. Like that wrecks me on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm sad and I'm upset and I get teary-eyed and it's weird. Like I've never spent that much time in a hospital before. And it's like you see people like family coming and like hug, and not like for babies being born.
Yeah.
This is like,
yeah,
you know,
like
whatever.
Smug babies.
Right, yeah.
No, but it's weird to see people happy to be in a hospital or being happy in spite of being in a hospital.
Yes, and I don't know if it'd be better if everyone was just morbid and sad and they're like, well, I'm in a hospital, I'm battling the series. But it's like weird just to see people like, oh, thanks, hey, oh, yeah, everything's great today. And I'm just like, oh, it's not. Oh,
yeah.
You don't know, do you?
Yeah. It could be better.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those things where the visitors are definitely putting on a false happiness, I feel like, to you know, because otherwise you're in the hospital by yourself with no visitors.
That's just the same 12 SVU episodes playing on loop.
You're not going to be that happy, you know, and it's definitely, you know, they're happy to see the person or whatever, because in the end, I think nobody wants to be in the hospital. So it's a lot of that, you fake it.
Except weirdos.
I mean, it's definitely interesting because you're absolutely right. It's like everybody, you shouldn't be happy to be in a hospital.
Right?
I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's, I mean.
I love Jell-O.
Which is weird, too, though, because you kind of should be because they're saving your life.
Yeah. Yes. Is that, I think part of you is happy that you're getting the help you need, but the other part is mad that you have to be there in the first place.
Yeah.
Or just like, it's not a pleasant place to be, so I think you're trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Right.
Otherwise, it can just like get out from under you.
Yeah, so I think I'm still learning that about me,
yeah.
Like how I handle that. Something that most people don't know about me, and this might be easier to worm our way into, is I was left-handed when I was born.
Okay.
And then
I'm so sorry.
I accepted a dare and jumped off a slide.
Oh, no.
Pre-elementary school or like kindergarten, shattered my left arm.
Yeah.
And then learned now I'm...
You're right-handed.
Right-handed for 99% of everything.
Yeah.
Welcome, well, brother.
Right-handed people live longer.
I know, but
so
I think I'm screwed. I don't know. Did I make the jump? Is that how you
I think you're an immortal now. You're like unhinged from time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, son.
He's
this will give you five
to,
more years of good life.
He walks among both worlds.
He's not supposed to be right-handed, but he is.
He is the Southpaw coming 2015.
Yeah.
He cannot be killed. There can only be one hand.
I'm Blade. I can be a vampire and I can go out in the day. I used to be left-handed and now I'm right-handed, so back up, bro.
I have been defeated.
Southpaw 2, ambidextrous.
Back in the paw.
Yeah.
We were talking about video games earlier. Kristen, you like video games. You're a video gamer, right?
Yeah.
You're into that.
Too much.
Yeah. Here's a couple fun facts about some video games. Kirby, you guys remember Kirby?
Everyone's favorite pink marshmallow who loves eating people and wearing their hats.
Do you know how he got his name?
Bad translation from a Japanese character coming over to America. That's my guess.
Ooh, zing, no.
Close. Oh, so close.
So close on the mornings, dude.
Those Atlantis tickets are not yours.
Not yours. I love every comedian's or everybody's like morning radio show is like it's kind of like Don Knotts with a it's like that.
Imitate the worst person you would never want to speak with, and then you have your morning radio shock jock voice.
Kirby is named after a gentleman by the name of John Kirby. He was a lawyer, and he represented Nintendo in a case against Universal Studios. Universal Studios, when Donkey Kong came out, sued Nintendo over like copyright infringement because of the based off of the movie King Kong, which came out in the 70s. However, John Kirby realized and looked back at a lawsuit that Universal Studios had with the original King Kong copyrights and said that their movie was based off of the book King Kong, which was in public domain. So John Kirby used that same lawsuit and proved that the Donkey Kong characters for Nintendo were public domain off of the book.
So you might say that he ate Universal and wore their hat. No, it doesn't work.
So he ended up saving Nintendo, you know, a lot of money, and they ended up buying him a boat. Then they ended up naming the character Kirby after him.
Huh.
Fun fact, yeah, Kirby was a... Do you guys remember the Adventures of Lolo?
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of people don't when I bring that up, and it's one of the most fun... Puzzle. It's one of the most fun video games I've ever played because I'm a huge fan of puzzle games, which is why I really like the Portal games.
So good.
And it's kind of similar to an extent. Like it's, you know, it's each level's a room and you got to get out of it.
Yeah.
And The Adventures of Lolo is a fucking good game.
I would say they're similar in that regard, but different in that Portal's amazing.
Adventures of Lolo was amazing in 89.
So it's no longer amazing.
Well, it's still amazing. Like it'll take you. You know, I'd like to see you play Adventures of Lolo now and see how fast you can beat it. Some of the levels are really fucking
I could
hard.
Beat it really fast because I'd be like, "This sucks."
I don't like these graphics.
Next,
couple other another video game fact here. I got two more for you. The clouds in Super Mario 1. Are the same as the bushes. They're the same graphic. They're just different colors.
So the clouds match the...
Yeah. The clouds match the drapes.
The drapes match the clouds. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but that makes sense.
Yeah. Did you pull up the photo already?
No, I was...
Oh, looking up
I don't need to look at clouds. I know what they look like.
Fair enough.
But no, you know, you guys know Mega Man, right?
Yeah. Mega Man 2 is the best video game ever. Don't dispute me. I will win.
You might get disputed.
No,
it's pretty
good. Mega Man 2 is the best game.
So you're not a fan of the slide mechanic? It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yes. It's pretty good. But
slide
in,
mechanic.
So
Mega Man 3.
Mega Man was not his original name.
No.
In Japan, he was known as Rockman. But unfortunately, when he was ported over to the United States, rock had a very different connotation. It made people think about crack cocaine, which was a huge epidemic at the time. So they invented the name Mega Man instead for an American audience, and that happened to stick.
Which was actually originally going to be Meth Man.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, why do we have all these drug references? Yeah.
Like, they'll never make a show called Breaking Bad.
And then 20 years later, the rapper Method Man came out.
Yeah. And then all those actors like Dustin Hoffman were like, he's ruining the craft.
There's a lot of stuff like that. There are, like, Dr. Wily is Eggman in Japan.
Or you mean Robotnik from Sonic?
Yeah, Dr. Robot. Who's Dr. Wily? Dr. Wily's Mega
Man. Dr. Wily's Mega Man's, like, weird
inventor,
mustachioed
father,
villain.
Villain, bad guy.
Yeah.
Dr. Light was his inventor.
Yeah, Dr. Light, right. But yeah, Robotnik is Eggman, the M-Bison, Switch and Street Fighter.
Yes.
Where, like, it's Balrog and M-Bison
yep,
are
yep, those
reversed
were switched.
Or
those
something
were reversed.
Like that.
Yeah.
And Resident Evil versus Biohazard. Like, I love what I love about all of that stuff is that these are Japanese games with English word names,
yeah.
But then they still change. When it's not as if it's like, oh, in Japan, well, a direct translation would be man who is mega and strong.
Yes.
In the U.S., we call it Mega Man. No, it's like, oh, no, in Japan, it's Rock Man.
Yeah, just something
and we translate that to the U.S. Yeah, yeah, whatever it is. That's funny.
Yeah, because Mega Man, really, like, there's nothing rock about him. At
except
least,
for,
well, yeah. I mean, I guess on Mega Man 1, there was only six, and there was, you know, there was the Cut Man, and then there was that, like, Boulder Man.
Yeah.
And that was really rocky. Like, that was that level was all rock.
Not to put you guys on the spot, but why, I wonder why Rock Man? Like, I don't know that. I don't know if listeners know that, but
yeah,
I wonder why, like, what is the...
What
not the epidemiology of that, but like, yeah, what was there? It's like, that's cool.
well,
Rock
I love
Man.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Your Rockman.
Question.
Do you have a Rockman?
Yeah.
We want a Rockman too.
I want to rock on. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a reference. Okay. Yeah, it was a reference to the music genre because his sister, the robot, was named Roll. So together they were rock and roll.
So he had a sister in Mega Man 1? In the Japanese versions? He never had a sister in Mega Man 1. There was no sister. There was the six robots he fought that was really hard to fight.
Franchise.
Then there was Proto Man, which came out in Mega Man 4, I believe. Or was that in 3?
I don't know.
Because Mega Man 2, there was the item 1 and item 2 and item 3. Then in Mega Man 3.
And a password save state. That was just revolutionary about Mega Man 2.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was one of the first games to have a password save state.
But then Mega Man 3 introduced the slide, bro. It gets a nod above 3. I mean, above 2.
Hold on, the slide.
Listen, Adventures of Tron Bonne or GTFO.
Mega Man 3, okay, you did have the slide, but you had the rush dog instead of the items, and then they kind of made it, it was a little too cutesy for me.
Shovel Knight, current game on the Wii eShop and on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
I've heard good things about it. It's like a throwback to classic
hints
Mega
of
Man
Mega
style.
Man, hints of DuckTales.
Yeah.
Fan.
Oh, DuckTales was a fun game.
Fantastic.
Speaking of games, we'll keep it in here, and then we'll vacate the games for those of the non-gamers out there, much like myself.
You fake gamers out
you
there.
You fake gamers. I'm a fake gamer, but it is what it is. The old games, I'm an old gamer. Like this game, Q-Bert. Do you guys remember Q-Bert?
Reboot just came out.
Q-Bert was such a fun game when I was growing up. I remember I had it on Commodore 64. My dad had a Commodore 64, and we would play it all the time. Then there was the Buck Rogers game. I don't know if you remember that came on the C64.
Don't.
It was really, really fun anyways. But Q-Bert... according to an article here on Mental Floss, when game developer Gottlieb's Warren Davis and Jeff Lee created Q-Bert for the company Gottlieb. When they started to create what would become Q-Bert, they initially called their project Cubes after the M.C. Escher-inspired boxes that the main character hops around on. They're like three-dimensional cubes. After they added the ability to shoot balls of slime from the character's snorkel-like nose in order to defend himself, they changed the name to Snots and Boogers. But when it was decided that the slime ball shooting made the game too complicated, they removed that. Then they needed a new marketing team. One idea, they were going to call it if you remember on Q-Bert, when he would get hit by a villain, he would have the Grawlux, all the asterisks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to originally call it that. But then after a while,
like, how do we pronounce that?
Yeah. Then somebody came up with the name Hubert, like they were going to name the character Hubert, and they ended up changing it to Q-Bert with a C-U-B-E-R-T. Then when the guy was designing the logo and everything, he changed it to the letter Q, then the asterisk, and then B-E-R-T. Yeah.
Wow.
Resulting in the name, the final. And then, I'll tell you what, that was I remember playing that for a long time. Like, I remember that being
a fun game.
Would
you turn your controller sideways so that it could kind of map better the...
I would sometimes do that because it was it was easier to go on angles
because the game is built in angles.
Exactly. It was an X. The physics of the game were built on an X versus an up and down and left and right.
Yep.
Yeah. Completely off video games here. I learned this today. I love this movie so much. It's one of my favorite comedies, but I never realized this until now. Joan Rivers passed away today. Rest in peace. We're recording this on the day Joan Rivers died. She was the voice of Dot Matrix, the female C-3PO in Spaceballs. I did not realize that till today. I'm like, oh, shit, that was her. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's something I learned.
I also loved her in Muppets Take Manhattan.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. She was funny. She was good in that movie. She's funny in a lot of
things. I mean, she lived a good life. She was very funny. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we were talking about Lost in Translation here.
Getting all choked up.
Get it together over there.
Quite literally.
We were talking about names being lost in translation. The La Brea Tar Pits. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the La Brea Tar Pits. For our listeners,
only my fave tar pits in the LA area.
They're the best. Dude, I went to the... Ah, dang it, I don't know. I was going to say something dumb. I went to the La Cienega Tar Pits.
Oh, yeah?
Wait, there's awful.
Bro, I went to the Grove Tar Pits. It's just in the middle of Sur La Table, right by the spatulas.
I thought it was just going to be... pre-makeup extra cast members about to go into this.
And from the tar pits emerged Mario Lopez, a glorious beacon of hosting glory.
Because he's beautiful. He has not aged.
Yeah, although they're doing that at Universal Studios now.
Oh,
they've left the Grove behind.
Dang it.
For greener pastures.
I was out of town. I just got back from visiting the Qatar tar pits.
You can just call them the Qatar pits.
The Qatar pits.
Wow! Eric,
just a pit of guitars.
Actually, you might not know this, but Mega Man's original name was Guitar Man.
All the eight robots were different octaves. Were all of the octaves there were eight.
Oh no, it's D Sharpman. And the dread whammy bar, man.
But back to the La Brea Tar Pits for the listeners not in California or overseas. La Brea Tar Pits is basically a tar pit that you know, but it's on. Based off of the street, it's on La Brea, is what it is. But anyways, the La Brea Tar Pits, or Rancho La Brea Tar Pits, are a group of tar pits around which Hancock Park was formed in urban Los Angeles. Natural asphalt, also called asphaltum, bitumen, pitch, or tar. Brea in Spanish is tar. So it seeped up through the ground. And it's a modern day example of the, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, a tautological place name to where it's redundant. Like the La Brea Tar Pits literally means the tar pits. Much like the Los Angeles Angels are the Angels Angels.
Right.
So it's anytime there's a name, anytime a place has a name, basically a place name is a tautological if two different sounding parts of it are synonyms. This often occurs when a name from one language is imported into another and a standard descriptor is added on from the second language. Thus, for example, New Zealand's Mount Maunganui is a tautological since Maunga is Maori for mountain. So,
that to me is kind of like the reverse of the Rockman becoming Mega Man, where it's like, this is an English word, never change. It's like, that to me is just laziness.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what it is. Maybe it's language pride. Or I always think it's funny. I understand if it's like a word that we're too dumb to pronounce, but like Spain, they call themselves España.
Yes.
And we're like, no. You're
Span.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
And our city's called the Angels. Well, we want our team to be called the, well, just screw it. We're going to do it. I mean, it's so, like the only example where I think if someone did it, it's not quite this, but it's like the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're like, well, I don't know. We're in Texas. Like, let's just.
What the hell do we name ourselves?
Yeah.
Well, what are you not going to mess with?
Dude, us.
It's like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Ted, his middle name was Theodore.
Yeah.
So his name was Ted Theodore Logan, as in like Theodore Logan.
Yeah.
Which is exactly that. That's one interesting thing is, I should know this already, but anytime I find out a country's name is actually different in the real world, then here it's like I'm always like, oh, that's weird, because it's exactly that. Why don't we just refer to it as España or whatever?
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, we have to shorten it to make it easier for us, but yet they, you know.
Well, they do it to us too, though, like France, where L'Estats Unis or however you say it or whatever. And I'm glad New Zealand does this with their mountains too. And that's not just, I mean, we're, America is just dumb in general, where we refer to ourselves as America.
Yeah.
And there are three Americas.
Three Americas.
And we're like, we're like, America. Yeah.
We're the United States.
Yeah, and we're not even.
You show me another America that has some United States, and I'll show you these nuts.
America.
And they're like, Mexico? Yeah. That has United. Shut up! Get out of our country!
You mean Diet Spain?
It's pronounced Espana. Shut up!
You mean Original Recipe Mexico?
España zero.
Yeah.
España zero.
It's weird,
you mean,
man.
Tab. L tab.
Well, there are weird things like that, too. I know tab is the drink or whatever, yeah. But like, I mean, do we just not understand language and we being people? Because
I think
there's like the table, like cities called like the table, or yeah. The, like there's a little translation of like.
Well, I think with something like the Los Angeles Angels, that was an instance of people not necessarily knowing the etymology of Los Angeles. Like, they hear the Spanish word, and they're like, oh, well, it's the City of Angels. We'll call ourselves the Angels.
Yeah.
It really should be the Anaheim Angels.
Well, they were the California Angels.
Also, Anaheim
that makes sense.
Should sink into the earth and let the mole people take it over, because that is a garbage city.
Anytime I hear the name Anaheim, I instantly think of the scene from Swingers when Sue was like, I was born in L.A., man. And Vince Vaughn's like, you were born in Anaheim.
Whenever I think of Anaheim, I think of actual swingers parties I go to. It's a crazy city, you guys.
Crazy city.
You gotta try it, rainbows and key parties. And speaking of Southern California, did you guys know that every day Chipotle uses 97,000 pounds of avocado?
I did not know that.
And it's extra. It's extra.
Yeah, it's nine. You get charged for 97,000 pounds of guac.
It's extra. Did you know? It's extra.
I don't know. I've never been told that.
Extra.
Not even once.
Really?
I've never been told.
What type of burrito do you get?
Just a guac burrito, just a tortilla full of guac. I bring in a bucket and have them fill it. I bring in a 10-gallon trash can.
True story is that Chipotle here over right near Nerdist, or Nerd Melt, brought this episode brought to you by, and it was like, you know, guacamole, fresh guacamole, and they do make it in-house every day at Chipotle.
what it means to taste freshness.
it browns pretty quickly when it gets air on it. And I was like, oh, and I'll get guac. He's like, that's extra. I was like, I know. And then the guy looks over there and it's brown. And he does this thing where he like looks away real quick to like kind of get me to look away. And I look back and he's like mixing it up. And he's like, sorry, man. Normally when it gets brown, we mix it up when no one's looking. It still tastes fine.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know what happens to guacamole. It's fine. And he was like, okay. But he did, it was like this, that's like, so over there! scrape.
It reminds me of, like, that's almost like a scene straight from, like, The Simpsons with, like, Gil or something like that. look over there, please.
Ah, jeez, I was only one payment away from this Chipotle.
If you order your thing online or on your phone, I think the guac is free, right? Is it? No, there's not anymore, Aristotle? You told me that.
That's what I thought, but that's because I get it. Veggie.
No, the veggie burrito is not charged extra for guac.
Oh,
so here's a pro tip for our
bring your own meat.
There's a website called Hack the Menu, and it tells you all these secret things you can order off of various restaurants.
This
and
episode brought to you by
Hack the Menu.
Some of them are free, some of them are not. But one also thing at Chipotle, if you get a burrito, you can ask for like the, I can't remember what the name of it is. It's like a quartara or something like that. It's like a quesadilla meets like a burrito or whatever. It's like a burritella or something, whatever it is.
What?
I don't fucking know. No, but look it up. Look it up on Hack the Menu, and it's a thing where they melt cheese on one of the burritos.
This is sounding a lot like Taco Bell here.
No, dude. Yeah, but and it's
the Doritos Locos Tacos Burritos Bolos.
But here's the deal. It's they melt the cheese on one of the tortillas, then they put another tortilla, so they double it up. Then you get a double tortilla burrito with cheese in the center. Okay, now here's another fact, too.
A side of type 2 diabetes.
Yeah. You can here's another way to get a little bit more out of Chipotle. You can ask for half meat, so you can do half and half. So generally they'll still do one full serving of each, so you still get a little bit more meat that way. Or you wait till they put on a bunch of the meat, and then you say, can I get extra meat? They'll charge you for the extra meat, but then they'll still give you way more meat as well. And then that way, because the burritos are already big enough for like two meals.
My biggest problem with Chipotle is the burritos aren't big enough.
No, but here's the thing. Like, this is what I do. Like, when I do order Chipotle, I'll use it for like a lunch and a dinner meal. So it's a great way to...
I'm not a fan of like...
reheated burritos?
Yeah.
They're so big burritos, though.
They are so big.
I ask for half of everything. I'm like, okay. I will pay you the same price, but just...
give you a hat.
Yeah. The only thing that they're skimpy, I'm a vegetarian as well. You should all be if you don't want. No. and the only thing they skimp on are the fajita veggies. Have you noticed? It's like, if you get, they're like, oh, and here's an onion and a green pepper. And you're like, bitch, that is the cheapest thing in here. But what you do is you get the vegetarian burrito.
Okay.
You get guacamole at the end. And you say, oh, you know what? Let's make it a chicken. Huh? Free guacamole? I've never tried that. I don't even.
Yeah.
You know what? I just realized I'm giving up on all my morals. Add chicken to this shit right now.
You know what? Today's the day I stop.
How much is guac? $3? Fuck it. I'll take a chicken burrito.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, to shift gears entirely away from this scintillating Mexican cuisine tour, we're in a comic book shop right now. In case you guys don't know that, we record this at Meltdown Comics in beautiful Los Angeles, California. And very recently on FXX, they ran a marathon of every Simpsons episode ever, which was pretty great.
Yes.
I watched so much of it. but I didn't realize that, do you know the comic book guy has a real name? He's not just called comic book guy. Do you know what it is?
I do not.
It is Jeffrey Albertson.
Jeffrey Albertson.
Yeah.
When and why did that come out?
Great question. I don't know why it came. People were probably just, was probably one of those things they were wondering for years. And they're like, well, we can't just call him Fat Hank Azaria.
I mean, I guess that's a good... But sometimes, like, for me, I wish Wolverine's origin was still a mystery.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need to know this
stuff. Yeah, I don't
need
to know Logan, or I just want him...
Yeah, or like, oh, it's in Japan, and then I'm this, and I'm really this, and I've been... It's like, just be this dude with mystery.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, the last episode of The Simpsons, they ran out of shit, and they gave you comic book guy's name.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Trying to think who else. That show, though, man, what an awesome long-running show that has been through so much, but
yeah,
keeps coming back with the funny. I feel like that show's kind of like SNL.
Aristotle's got something to say.
Did you also know that there is an episode of The Simpsons based on Meltdown?
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah.
It's in season 19, I think like episode 7 or 9, and it's called Husband and Knives. New comic book store opens from Comic Book Guy. Looks just like Meltdown.
Oh, okay. I have seen that episode.
Wow, that's really cool. Fun fact.
Oh, man.
Fun fact, the studio we record this podcast in is Meltdown Comics. Obviously, all of your Nerdist fans know this. It was mentioned on a Simpsons episode. That's awesome. Here's something I've had
it's
on...
It's called Coolsville Comics and Toys.
Here's something I've had on this our facts list for a while, and as we get further in, it's going to be completely irrelevant. But it's the dog days of summer. I've been meaning to bring this up, you know, because summertime is a warm summer, obviously it's warm, and dog days is everyone's like, oh, it's hot. It's like, oh, the dog days of summer, and it's, you know, there was that movie Dog Day Afternoon. It's a popular phrase.
There's that movie
here.
Must Love Dogs. And hotel,
all dogs go to heaven.
Yeah, and yeah. Hotel Rwanda for dogs.
The phrase dog days refers to the sultry days of summer in the northern hemisphere. In the northern hemisphere, the dog days of summer are most commonly experienced in the months of July and August, which typically observe the warmest summer temperatures. The Romans referred to the dog days as dies caniculares and associated the hot weather with the star Sirius. They considered Sirius to be the dog star because it is the brightest star in the constellation Canis Major, which is the large dog. Sirius is also the brightest star in the night sky. The term dog days was used earlier by the Greeks in 199, apparently. The dog days originally were the days when Sirius rose just before or at the same time as the sun, also known as heliacal rising, which is no longer true, owning to precision of the equinoxes.
Well, today I learned Razzle can't speak Greek. Or what is that, Roman?
Latino.
Latino.
Roman, Latin. Yeah. In ancient Rome, the dog days ran from July 24th through August 24th, or alternatively, July 23rd through August 23rd. I don't know. So
basically, summertime is hot. but there's a reason that they called them the Dog Days of Summer.
Comes from the Dog Star.
I thought it was just because it was shitty baseball.
It's like, oh, welcome to the Dog Days of Summer. We decided to play 162 games in this damn
season. We decided to just play them all during late July, early August. What were we thinking? But who cares? We let 40-year-olds play this game.
It's not the beginning of the season, and you're not excited, and it's not close enough to a playoff rush for you to be excited. Welcome to baseball.
Another ground ball, and he's out. Thank you, and welcome to hour 16 of this interminable, unyielding hell.
It's funny that you bring up baseball.
Go on.
Because everybody's heard the song Take Me Out to the Ball Game, correct?
Fave song. It's my ringtone.
A little known fact about me, I have never heard.
I can't even
that song before.
No way.
Is that a get out?
It's a song.
Get out.
How were you?
You know that Franz Ferdinand song, Take Me Out?
Oh yeah.
Just add to the ball game at the end.
It's like in bed to a fortune.
Pretty much.
To the ball game. We don't know. Third outs. Good luck. Gotta go. Seventh inning stretch. You know. Take me out.
Yeah, there we go.
But anyway, Take Me Out to the Ball Game actually dates back all the way to 1908. It was a Tin Pan Alley song sung by Jack Norworth and Albert Von Tilzer.
Albert Von Tilzer.
The Albert Von Tilzer, except no substitutes, the original Kesha. Yes. And it's become the unofficial anthem of North American baseball, although neither of the authors attended a baseball game prior to writing the song. And the song, usually just the chorus, is sung during the middle of the seventh inning, during the iconic seventh inning stretch when people get up, buy their last beers, do Pilates, pee in giant troughs, you know, usual stuff. And so it was played at the ballpark for the first time in 1934 at a high school game here in Los Angeles. And researchers are pretty sure that it made its debut at a major league park later that year. And there are actually two additional verses that can be found on Wikipedia if you are so concerned about knowing every lyric to that song.
Are the second two verses, because these are like, it's like a Tin Alley song or whatever, the second verse is like, I'll suck your dick in this alley. It's just like,
we don't get paid enough.
Well, actually, Tin Pan Alley was a name given to a group of New York City music publishers and songwriters who dominated the U.S. pop music landscape during the late 19th, early 20th century.
Yes.
It referred to a specific place at first, West 28th Street between 5th and 6th Ave in Manhattan. And there is actually a plaque on the sidewalk of 28th Street between Broadway and 6th that commemorates this fact. But it was more referring to this like group of singers, songwriters, and hip hop DJs. Yeah.
I thought it was just like dudes like barking, like, hey,
hey there,
hey there at the ball. We got a hit here, Brad.
Now that's what I call Great Depression.
For instance, one of the more popular songs written in Tin Pan Alley by the Tin Pan Alley writers was "By the Light of the Silvery Moon." By the light.
That's all you can do.
Of the
city. Careful.
It's public.
Yeah, we don't have the ASCAP fees.
Public domain.
Are you sure about that?
I don't know.
You got to call Jack Kirby. John Kirby? Jack Kirby's a different Kirby. Jack Kirby's a very different. Jack Kirby's like, I don't know.
I'm dead.
I invented Batman.
I invented Captain America.
Bob Kane invented Batman. I'm basically,
Bill Finger.
I'm on this
Bill
show, Finger, and I just put out, like, I just sneak in like bullshit facts.
Yeah,
and they're like, Jack Kirby did not invent. Oh, I heard it on today. I guess it has to be true.
I learned it. I can't unlearn a thing.
Yeah. Bob Kane.
I heard it on the internet.
You can't teach an old listener new facts.
Nope.
Well, we are in a comic book store recording in the upstairs, and not only do they sell comic books, but they also sell action figures.
What?
They also sell...
You mean dolls?
They also sell...
You mean things with girls play with?
Paraphernalia. Yeah. Dolls. They sell dolls, ladies and gentlemen. They do sell a lot of dolls.
They're not dolls. They're collectibles?
Posable collectibles with 23 points of articulation.
I will say they do have some Kung Fu Grip. They have a lot of really cool stuff here. Yeah.
It's very cool.
If you are of weak will and you're worried about your wallet, just keep your eyes shut when you're walking in here.
Here's the thing.
Use Braille.
Like, I get it, and I don't get it, but if I was loaded, if I was like like Scrooge McDuck rich, I would buy a lot of stuff in here and just have it sitting around to look at, because there's a lot of cool shit in here that is completely pointless and collects dust. But if I was rich, I could find space to put it.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to the action figure. The term action figure was first coined by Hasbro, Hassenfeld Brothers, also known as, in 1964, to market their G.I. Joe figure to boys who wouldn't play with dolls. A similar toy named Johnny Hero was introduced by Roscoe Industries for Sears in 1965, but was known as a boy's doll since the term action figure had not gained widespread usage at that point. Fuck you, Sears, for not being creative enough.
Please, Mother, I'd love a boy's doll from Sears.
We didn't get the catalog yet.
And khakis.
And one dress, please.
Maybe a crushed velvet sailor suit.
First we get the dress.
An oversized lollipop.
First
a little propeller hat.
What's sorry. That? First we get the dress, then we get the khakis, then we get the boy's doll.
Yeah.
Then we get the... What is
then
that?
We get
that?
Fucking laid.
And then we perform in the 10th Street Alley. Hey!
G.I. Joe was initially a military-themed 11.5-inch figure proposed by marketing and toy idea man Stan Weston.
Classic Weston.
13 inches on a good day.
Hey-o.
I love how it's by marketing and toy idea man. He's not just an idea man. He's a toy
I'm not just
man.
A marketer. I'm an idea man, see? But just for toys.
I tried cancer, do it. But I can't make a toy of it. You rip it up.
It featured changeable clothes with various uniforms to suit different purposes. Now, in a move that would create global popularity for this toy, Hasbro also licensed the product to companies in other markets, such
case
as...
Case in point.
Britain.
Action Man.
Action Man.
So, 1966, Pally Toy, a company called Pally Toy, licensed a copy of Hasbro's, quote, movable fighting man, G.I. Joe. It was originally produced and sold in the UK and Australia by Pally Toy Limited of Colville, Leicestershire. That's Pally Toy in Colville, Leicestershire from 1966 until 1984.
Please send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Pally Toy.
Where it will be Colville. Summarily burned for coal.
Yeah. So that's a bit interesting.
Man,
action figure. Everybody takes action figure.
I used to have so many
recently.
G.I. Joes, but I came after they... I didn't have any, like, the big, like, 11.5-inch ones. I had the smaller ones that had, like, the little rubber rubber band connecting the torso and the legs. Yep. That those way, when like they that. Broke, you'd get some really fucked up narratives, like, I saw my buddies die face down on the shit. I saw torsos and limbs littering the landscape.
Those are the ones that really blew up G.I. Joe.
Yeah, because those are the ones that were based on... That, those are the ones that tied into the animated book, series and the comic series. Book.
They had, you know, it was purely marketing. It was purely to sell toys. You know, they had different, you know, the villains looked differently. They had toys and guns and planes and gadgets. I had a bunch of those as a kid. However, when it comes to G.I. Joe, I had way more He-Man and Thundercats.
Oh,
toys
yeah. You were a Masters of the Universe fan?
I was a Masters of the Universe and a Thundercats versus that.
They're all good. If you haven't, if you're a youngin', the early seasons of OG G.I. Joe are good. Like, up into the movie. Like, yeah, it was like...
I still love the movie.
The movie's good.
I
think you can watch the movie, but I wouldn't necessarily go past that. Whatever,
the fact
season
that,
four
the
or
fact
whatever.
That Roadblock exclusively speaks in rhymes.
You go in there, you won't survive. The plant's in there, Joe's alive.
Yeah. Someone was making a WGA minimum.
Fun fact, that movie was
or
supposed
maximum.
To... The movie was originally supposed to be a little bit bigger budget and released theatrically, but after the Transformers movie failed to deliver... They ended up releasing... I know, Transformers was awesome, but it didn't do as well. And there was another movie, I think, My Little Pony movie that they released as well, if
there
I remember
was a Care
reading.
Bear one around that same
and,
time, too.
Those also didn't do too well, which, you know, that they lost a lot of money on, so they couldn't afford to release the G.I. Joe movie publicly and in theaters and all that stuff. So it was kind of forced to be aired on television in parts.
Huh.
And, yeah. So I know, Christian, I know you got to get out of here soon because you got an awesome Sketch Melt show going on downstairs.
Yeah, if you're listening to this right now, it's at 8:30 tonight. I don't know, when does this go out, guys?
This goes out an hour ago.
Okay, great. So 2 hours from now, you guys are going to want to...
Hey, guys, I think we're being swatted. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, dude. Get on the floor. Flip out your dick. Wait a minute. That's not us.
You have the right to remain sexy.
The gamer girls' bachelorette parties are fake SWAT teams.
I think that'd actually be funny. Now I want to do that. I want to strip swat someone.
Yeah.
Next time I know someone's playing like on Twitch, I'm going to strip swat them and just send it and they'll be like, get on the floor and suck this dick. Bop, 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 bop.
Get on your knees and open wide.
Time to get a tea bag. But yeah, Sketch Melt, it's the first Thursday of every month. I need to help. I co-host it with Brad Gage.
Awesome.
Nice. Make sure so guys, if you're ever in the LA area, come and see it.
Yes.
Unless you're on a different Thursday, in which case, you done goofed.
Or if you get stuck at the La Brea Tar Pits. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Is that my best? Did I do it?
You did it. Callback.
In which case, you'll probably die there.
But let's drop one more bit of knowledge before we get you out of here and before you plug everything you need to plug. It's known as the Abilene Paradox.
Fave Paradox that we're talking about today.
The Abilene Paradox. In an Abilene Paradox, a group of people collectively decide on a course of action that is counter to the preferences of many of the individuals in the group. It involves a common breakdown of group communication in which each member mistakenly believes that their own preferences are counter to the group's and, therefore, does not raise objections. A common phrase relating to the Abilene Paradox is a desire to not rock the boat.
Another example is me being a guest on this podcast.
Another example is when we all went to Chipotle for dinner, even though none of us wanted burritos.
And one last example is, insert the first thing we talked about on the podcast.
And that is the trap that we've expertly laid for you. Can you figure out what the mystery was without reversing?
I came across that, and I'm like, that was interesting, because a lot of times when you are in group settings or you're trying to decide on something, it's like, oh, let's do this, when really nobody wants to, but they don't want to offend everybody else agreeing on doing that. So it's also, you know, not, you don't want to rock the boat when everybody else in the boat doesn't want to be in the boat also.
Do we have examples of that throughout history? I know that I'm putting you guys now totally on the spot.
Let's see here.
But I feel like that's like the anti-Cuban Missile Crisis. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, what's, I mean, the pretty reverse? Much. I mean, I think the best example is,
I think,
honestly,
best example,
ordering takeout with a group of people. Like, that is where I know that's happened with my friends for a fact. Everyone's like, oh, I guess we'll get pizza. You want pizza? Yeah, sure. Let's get pizza.
That. Yeah. We got kind of anything. I'm fine with anything. Fuck.
Do you have a preference? No, I'm down for anything. I'm good for whatever. I'm not down for anything.
Okay, so
I'm never down for anything.
On the Wikipedia page here, the theory is often used to help explain extremely poor group decisions, especially notions of the superiority of rule by committee. For example, Harvey himself cited the Watergate scandal as a potential instance of the Abilene Paradox in action.
Wait, Harvey said that?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Jerry B. Harvey who first introduced the term. He's a management expert. Yes. Expert at managing.
The Watergate scandal occurred in the United States in the 1970s when many high officials of the administration of then-President Nixon, Republican, colluded in the cover-up of perhaps the execution and break-in of Democratic National Committee.
Yeah, what Harvey said. Another example, if you scroll Keitel. A little further down, there's...
He's a bad lieutenant.
It says, take out with Dan.
Yeah
congrats on making the pay.
It's noticeable if you are invited to my Eat24 shared cart. That listen, I'm a little hangry. I'm gonna be honest.
So let's get some Chipotle. What do you want on it?
Just guac. Just scoop guac into my hands. Is it free?
Put it in my shame.
Is it free if you just pour guac in my hands? I'm not using any other ingredients.
Just give me the brown stuff you usually mix to the bottom.
Can you unmix this? It's a little too green. I prefer a nice...
And I'll have some guac. Yeah, I know it's extra, and I like the brown stuff.
I like my guac to be kind of like life itself, pointless and on the verge of death. So, thank you. Great. Christian, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
I am on Twitter at Spicer, SPICER. My podcast on this very network, this fine network of audio listening things, is called What's New with Christian Spicer. It is a stand-up show. Three comics do live comedy, new material, and then we all get together and talk about what worked, what didn't. You can also catch me on YouTube. I do this great show called The Dan Cave, which if you're not watching, it's where I put on a Dan mask that I've been making for years, and I have it down. No, it's a great show.
I'm going to say it's pretty lifelike.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I didn't know which one to shoot.
And that's the podcast here, and then all the other stuff you mentioned. And then at another comedy place, I do this show called Improv versus Stand Up.
Nice. That's right. Over at the UCB.
And it's done in New York as well once a month when I'm not out there.
The Upright Sea Brigade.
Sea Brigade. A little known fact, as named after CB Brigade. it's hosted by Boris Hyken in New York. And we're
nice.
Here second Thursday of the month, Improv versus Stand Up.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right on. Is that, when is that in New York? Second Thursday also?
We've been upgraded in New York. Now, I think it starts in October. We are primetime Saturday night.
Wow.
What about the end of September?
The end of September, well. The
only, only reason I'm saying that is because I'm going to be there in New York, and I'm looking for some gigs if you're out there in New York.
Razzle takes the Big Apple this fall.
If you're listening to this, hit me up off mic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's no.
What? I gotta go. The show's starting.
He cannot be bought. But guys, if you want to find us on the internet, I am at Osteoferocious. Razzle is at My Name Is Razzle 2, the number 2.
Number
Don't
two.
Spell it out. Don't be an idiot, dummy. Anyway, guys, you can find the podcast as well. We are at TWL Podcast. You can send us an email, todaywelearnedpodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook. What a great website.
Yep. Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan.
We're on Pinterest, Angie's List, Craigslist, FBI's Most Wanted List, and Yelp.
And Megan's Law. No, that's not it.
It's pronounced Megan.
And at Chipotle every Wednesday.
Yeah. Trying to desperately decide what to order for the cheapest cost.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So there we go. Yeah, thanks again, Christian, for joining us. Thanks, our listeners. Once again, give us a good review on iTunes. Tell your friends about it. And yeah, as always...
You're a wizard, Harry. Wait, no, sorry. That's for someone else.
Thanks, guys.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.